we are to attain to wisdom, we must realize it is nothing we obtain, it is something we attain. This means my biases, my prejudices, my self-preservation must diminish greatly. If it does not diminish, then I am stuck being the Gregory. He has his insecurities and his fears, just like anyone else. But when you can see your fears in the light of an understanding that is beyond thinking, when you can become aware rather than intellectually understanding, when you can blunt the sharpness, untangle the knot, soften the glare, and then merge with the dust, then what is hidden becomes relevant, present. Lhotse says, oh, hidden deep but ever present, I do not know from whence it comes. It is the forefather of emperors. There is a great wisdom in the Tao. There is a great wisdom to seeking the way. You can't use your intellectual prowess. You must use your intuitive nature. You must want to blunt the sharpness, untangle the knot, soften the glare. Wisdom is found not in what you gain, but what you and I are willing to lose. When I am willing to lose what I think offers me some kind of protection from my low self-esteem, when I can realize what is beyond the esteeming of Gregory, when I am no longer interested in his falderal, I untangle the knot, and I am no longer thinking in terms of being sharp, which means unkind, having what I would say are relative answers to irrelevant questions. The wise man, as Lhotse said, is not compelled to leave home and search out grand vistas. He stays home and remains peaceful above it all. My students, especially the women, are hung up on travel. One of the reasons being is because they haven't learned what it means to be above it all. This is very difficult for women. Women have their escape mechanisms. Men have their terrible, ruthless unkindness, unwillingness, stubbornness. Put the two together, well, then you have society as a whole. Let me give you some wisdoms, and may these things serve you well. A blackbird found a large piece of food in the village and lit out into the sky with the food in its beak. A flock of his brothers chased after him, attacked him, pulling the food from his beak. The blackbird finally let go of the piece of food, and his relationship to the flock, as it were. The bird swooped and dived and thought, I have lost the food, but I have regained the sky. This is one of the major principles in the book Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He was not going to join the flock. He had the same experience as this blackbird. Wisdom is knowing what is valuable. It's hidden ever deep within you. It is that which you can take with you through death. We don't think in terms of that. We don't rise above it all. That's not what we're about. We're about getting it all, escaping ourselves, or trying to. But what is the old Zen saying? Wherever you go, there you are. No matter what, the wise person has a resiliency, a tenacity to seek the way, as they would in the tenacity to try to find a way out, something that pleasures them. This is the way people are. They want to escape themselves. They don't realize that their life is a reflection of their within. So they want to travel. They want to do everything they can to see maybe that looking at things that appear to be better than them, or shall we say more comfortable than them, that they might attain to them, might get them, might purchase them, might be renowned for them. People will go all over the world to try to find a way to be renowned. They miss. What is more important to you? The obtaining that brings conflict, misunderstanding, pain and sorrow? Or the attaining that brings you life eternal, ever hidden deep within you? Something you really can take with you through death. Most people want what will aggrandize them. Listen to Tuangsa Latsa, student. A fish trap catches fish. But once the fish is caught, the trap is forgotten. The purpose of words is to convey ideas, insights, the unspoken. But when the ideas are grasped, the words are forgotten. I would like to talk to someone who has forgotten words. I would too. Boy, I would too. Someone who isn't caught up in the obsessive compulsive, trying to understand what is inexplicable, unfathomable. Yes, I would too. But these people are far and few between, and definitely are not of the ilk most human beings are. The capacity to become aware is not governed by your understanding, your literal-minded understanding. It is the reveal of understanding the nature of the vessel, your emptiness, to be aware of your emptiness as the vessel that is never filled. You have this within you. It has been put aside for the whole relevance of trying to survive. And we miss. We do this over and over again. We make a lifestyle out of this that is, well, not compassionate. It makes us ruthless. Our mind is always looking for a strategy to get something we want, get something to make us feel better about ourselves. And then we create the knot in our minds, the conflict. Everything has its consequences, my dear one, everything. So I used my sharpness to try to survive. And in doing so, I confuse and complicate my life. It's hard to untangle that knot, as I talked about in the previous discourse. You have to soften the glare. You have to see things in a different light. And that light is humble. When a person truly awakens, can go beyond the sharpness, the knot, the glare, the dust, when a person can go beyond the unfathomable, beyond self-preservation, they come to a beautiful place, a place of humility. You see, it is humility that opens up all of the doors. There was a great king who was a follower of a saint. This saint was a simple, humble man. You would never know he was one. And the saint asked him to follow him. Come, be with him. He wanted to show him his treasure, the one that made him a saint, made him beautiful. The king felt very happy, and he was moved by the fact that the saint wanted to show him the riches of treasure that he had within himself. So the first thing the saint did is he said, take me to where you hide your wealth. They went into a large room. All there was there were diamonds, rubies, and precious stones. The saint asked him, how much profit do you make from these? The king, nothing. He said, nothing. In fact, I have to spend a lot of time and money to secure them, to make sure no one steals them. The saint said, let me show you a stone that is more precious than these. Well, the king had a gleam in his eye. He liked that idea. He thought this was a great way of spending his time, and maybe he could acquire this great stone. After a long walk, they reached near a house of an old widow. She was making flour using a grinding stone. The saint smiled and said to the king, this stone makes flour for hungry people and also helps the elderly lady make a living. Isn't this more precious than your stones? He went on, there is a great difference between expensive and being useful. What you call precious is only what you believe is expensive. These stones that you showed me have no other value than that. But this elderly lady grinding the stone is helping people make a living. And while your stones are just wearing away unnecessarily, doing nothing, wasting away, that money could be used to help others. The king acknowledged, but he had no capacity to be generous, to understand what the great saint was trying to show him. It was unfathomable for him to think that a grinding stone and an elderly lady working her fingers to the bone for other people as well as herself could be more powerful than these beautiful stones, these rare stones. And since the saint realized this from the king, he said, "Our time is over until you can recognize what I have been talking about all these years to you. I understand deeply this beautiful story. In a way, it's my story. I am that elderly lady. And my fingers, they work to the bone. I understand what the saint was trying to show the king. But a person whose understanding can only belong to their genetics, to this world, to the strategy of this world, this all looks terribly ridiculous and impossible. You either get the Tao or you don't. The way to get it, to understand it, is to not understand it. It is to enter into the unfathomable, the 10,000 things. It is to enter into yourself. And instead of trying to understand everything from the ideals of what your mental capacity could be and what you think of as being right, normal, and good, you and I start looking at things not literally, but in their ephemeral, seeing things for what they are in this world. But the thing that is most important, it seems the least important to us based on our understanding. Go for what is least important. Merge with the dust, as Lao Tzu said. Words are words. Learn to speak without words. Learn to listen without thinking. Take in the impression. If you can understand the impression, if you can be aware of it, understand something is there, and then go beyond that understanding into the impression, into the awareness of the impression, you will find great change in you. Now you will no longer be living from the premise of what you can have and get. You will not leave home to find what is essential. You will realize the way. I want to meditate with you. What I'm about to read to you was given to me by a very special man that I was with in India, who became my mentor. It would help me understand what I didn't get because of my rigid mindset. So he gave me this before he departed back to Germany. We were at the ashram, I'll never forget it, and I would never see him again. He said, "You will never see me again." So please keep this and read it. Well, I read it every day. So I'm sharing it with you. It's from the Tao. Close your eyes and you will see clearly. Cease to listen and you will hear the truth. Be silent and your heart will sing. Seek no contact and you will find union. Be still and you will move with the tide of the spirit. Be gentle and you will need no strength. Be patient and you will achieve all things. Be humble and you will remain complete. Let's be together in that spirit. Imbibe the spirit of that and be with me in this meditation.